Excellent. Okay, there we are. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you aboard. What are we, about the 24th of September, isn't it? I believe so. Yeah, 25th. 25th, I got it wrong. Time flies, and we're already into fall here. This is your weekly persuasion call. I'm Steve Olson. I'll be helping you out today. And those of you that are new to the call, just basic call etiquette. If you're somewhere noisy with cats and dogs and a wood shop or something, you'd be surprised at things that we hear. Go ahead and hit star, I believe it's star 6 to mute yourself out. If it's not that, then it's star 5. That'll certainly work. And when you have a comment or a question, just go ahead and hit it again. You can pop right back on, and we'll be here waiting for you and anxious to hear from you. So that'll be much appreciated if you do that. We've been had Kurt on for a couple of weeks going over a few things, inoculation, I know what he went into last week. Why can't I remember it? Oh, mood matters. You know, how to use mood when persuading and how to consider it. And every about 6 months or so, we like to do a little review on one of the very critical parts of persuasion that you always need to be taking into account, which is personality types. Some of you are pros at this. Some of you already know it very well. Others may have never even heard it at all, and it's good to take into consideration, because as you persuade, as you use these laws, you know, Kurt talked about mood. You know, I've been on here talking about inoculation. Cameron's been doing questions. There's four different personality types when it comes to persuasion, and you can use all these different laws of persuasion in those four different ways. So just because you're using, for example, the law of scarcity doesn't mean it's going to work. If you're catering it towards the wrong personality type, you're not going to get many results, if anything at all. So this is kind of an overarching concept when we're talking about persuasion. It's very, very key, very, very important. All right? So if you go down, for example, if you were to go down to Barnes & Noble right now, Dave, and, you know, you can go down there and look into the sales section or the business section, the psychology section. You're going to see a bunch of books about personality types. There's no shortage of information on this. Essentially, what we've done is distilled it down into a method that's going to be a little bit easier and a little bit more user-friendly, I guess. Because when you get down to the raw psychology of it, there's actually more than 30 personality types. And that's just not going to be very user-friendly, is it? I mean, can you imagine going to an appointment and pulling out your big spreadsheet, your matrix that looks like a mileage chart, right, and trying to peg what personality type somebody is? If there's over 30 of them, you're not going to be able to do it. And if you were to simplify it as much as possible, there's basically four different quadrants of personality types. And that's what we'll talk about here today. If you've ever read the book The Color Code by Dr. Taylor Hartman, very useful book. It's more catered towards learning about yourself and learning about your relationships with others than it is to persuasion, and we've kind of spun that off into the persuasion side of things. And you should also know that personality types, while there's plenty of information on it, it's not an exact science. If you've got the kind of business where you can sit down and give your prospect a huge personality quiz before you talk to them, then good for you. But most of us don't have that. Most of us are trying to nail this thing in 30 seconds on a doorstep or on a phone call or whatever it may be. Now, you can kind of do this a little bit better if you're working with these people on a daily basis, you know, like a boss or coworkers or something. That would certainly make it possible. So the more you know somebody, the better you're able to cater your presentation to them. So let's think about this. Approach this from a couple of different angles. And we may need to spread this out onto two different phone calls. We'll see how that goes. I want to first give a brief summary of each personality type, and then we're going to talk about how to identify them. And if there's still a few minutes left, we'll get into some techniques on dealing with them. If there's not, then we'll push that into next week, because we always get a couple of questions here on this topic. Okay. Does anybody, before we get really start picking up speed here, though. Does anybody have any comments or questions about anything that we've discussed in the last couple of weeks, or any questions about the world of persuasion that just can't wait? Okay. Fair enough. We'll get going here then. Identifying personality types and defining them. Types. And what I want you to remember is that each type has something that it craves, something that it needs to have. And until it gets this, there's nothing else really to talk about. Has anybody on the line here ever had a conversation with somebody that just seemed really forced, it didn't really seem like it was going anywhere? Welcome to planet Earth, right? We all have those kinds of conversations. And you probably have had a conversation, too, where you're trying to persuade somebody and they're just saying, hey, cut to the chase, get to the bottom line, right? Anybody ever had that happen? And it can be frustrating because you're trying to control the conversation as a persuader. You're trying to do certain things. And if they're just sitting back there folding their arms saying, tell me the bottom line, show me the money, then you're not doing the right thing. They've got that defense mechanism up. And they would also most likely be our first personality type, which is red. Okay, the red personality type, above all things, craves control. If they don't know what's going on, if they don't know where something is headed or what they're going to be getting, they're going to be very resistant to your message. If you're trying to pitch somebody something and they cut you off and say, you know what, can you just tell me what, cut to the chase here, what's going on? You've got a red on your hand. Now, we all have a little bit of red in us to some degree. And it tends to come out when you don't trust somebody. Red is the personality type that we resort to when we want to defend ourselves. Get a little more aggressive. But red, above all things, they crave that control. Next one is blue. Blue is going to want to be right. They want to make the right decision. Somebody that just really seems like they're thinking it through. They don't want to be rushed. They're not in a hurry. Looking at the numbers, doing the math. That would be a blue personality. Very different than the yellow. A yellow is very social and very outgoing. They want to have fun. That's what's important to them. If they're not having it, then you're not their guy. White wants everything to be okay. They just want peace. They want stability. They do not want to rock the boat. And as we say this, you're probably thinking of some people that you know in your real life, right? You're thinking, wow, that really sounds like my boss, or that really sounds like my business partner. And it is entirely possible for you to be more than one of these personalities. And what we typically find is that you'll have one that dominates your career, where you're making money, bringing home what needs to be brought home, and then you have another one that dominates your personal relationships. Not always the case, but it is most of the time. So let's go into here how to identify these personality types. Everybody with me so far? Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, David Daytona, I got a question for you.
Fire.
The red personality type likes to get to the bottom line. And when I saw you guys do this live in your meeting, Steve, this is one of my favorite topics, so this is great. But the question is, when you've got a guy who wants the bottom line, it doesn't give you a chance to kind of massage them and mold them into your way of thinking. They need something quick. What type of questions, once I've identified, do I ask that type of personality so I can give him the answer he needs?
That's a good question, Dave, and a lot of people struggle with that. That's probably the main theme of questions that we get on this topic, and we'll go into a lot of depth on it when we talk about dealing with them, but I'll give you the red answer, okay?
Sure.
which is you have to come out of the chute with a very, very strong rapport with this guy and very high energy, you know, almost matching him, showing, hey, look, I'm right with you, okay? Something it would be like, look, Bill, I don't want to waste your time. Basically, I'm here to ask you one simple question. If I can do X for you, do we have anything further to discuss?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that probably, I would say, is the biggest issue with a red. If you're not able to show them some value in the first 30 seconds, you're done.
Okay.
Show value as soon as possible. You can't seem desperate when you're showing this value. You can't be giving away the store. You have to confidently show that value. And there's a few more steps in there that are going to help, but that's your Reader's Digest version for now. Does that help?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, so we're gonna identify these, and we'll start with red again here. Because red, I think, is probably one of the easiest to identify. You got to beware, though, if one of the other personality types doesn't trust you, if they don't like you, they're going to masquerade as a red. A yellow can totally act like a red if they need to, so can a blue. A white has a little harder time, but it can be done. Okay? So, reds. Number one, there are a couple of questions that you could ask a red. And I'm assuming, out of the chute here, that you probably have not met this person, or you've had very little interaction with them. Okay, so we're kind of talking about, well, how do you diagnose a personality type in the first, you know, 30 seconds to 5 minutes, roughly, of meeting somebody? Or at least, you know, narrow it down to two. Okay, so let's say, for example, you are making phone calls or dropping in on somebody. A question like, you know, did I catch you at a good time? I need about 30 seconds and that's it. You put that little disclaimer in there, because if you ask a red if you caught him at a good time, well, there's a good chance that you could get a very red answer, which is no. Right? The other answer would be yes. It's going to be a quick, brief answer. And you're going to kind of hear in the undertones of their voice, you know, the answer of, well, yeah, but that depends. You better tell me something good quick. Right? So did I catch you at a good time? It's not so much the answer that they give, but how they give it. That's very key. What's the tone? What's the body language as they give you that answer? Another question. Actually, this is not a question, believe it or not. I kind of got off track there. We're going after voicemail. If you're calling people and you're getting voicemails, which most of the time we do, people answer the phone less and less these days, the inclination is to think, oh, what kind of message should I leave, if any at all, instead of carefully listening to how they recorded their message. That's very important. How they record that message on that voicemail is going to give you a good lead. A red would say something like, this is Bob, you know what to do. Or this is Glenn, leave me a message. It's very quick, probably less than 10 to 15 words. Just tells you very, very quickly and simply what to do. So when you're actually hearing the person's voice, those are a couple of methods out of the chute to diagnose them as a red. A few other things, you know, if you're visiting with them in person or just talking, Reds are going to gravitate towards certain kinds of career paths and jobs. They'll typically be in leadership positions. They'll be executives. They'll be judges or attorneys. They'll be police, military, business owners. Right? Those are Reds. They're in control. Very rarely going to see a Red be, for example, a computer programmer. Right? That's not a very common thing at all. I doubt one exists. If you were to go visit a Red's office, it's going to be slightly cluttered, but it'll have a system. They've got their way of doing things. Might look a little bit bare. It could also have, you know, different awards hanging on the wall. Picture of a big fish that the Red caught. Stuff they killed, right? They want to show you, hey, look what I did. I'm in control. I get it done. Probably not going to be a nice cozy chair for you to sit down in. Just an example, myself, in my career, I'm pretty Red. I got a little mixture of others in me, but for the most part, I'm Red. And usually I don't keep a chair in my office across from my desk. Because if somebody walks in unannounced into my office and wants to talk to me, I'd like them to do it standing up so they can get it done. If they sit down, then there's all that other stuff to talk about. And to me, that's not really relevant for my day. I'm a Red. I want to get stuff done. I want to have control. However, I do have to realize that, well, you know, there's other personality types too, and I've got to cater to those. But my instinct is to do it that way. And that's what you'd find if you came into my office. Not a lot of fluff around. There's a few things. Not the neatest place in the world, but it doesn't look like a disaster either. Okay. A Red is going to drive a solid car. It's going to be sturdy. It's going to be tough, maybe fast. It's not going to be flashy. They'll drive the black BMW or the white Mercedes. Something solid. And they're going to go after that status symbol a little bit, too. They like to have that. They'll dress conservatively in solid colors, and they'll go name brand if they can. A quick little summary on the Reds for you. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, can you just give us some examples of people, whether they're celebrities or movie people, that maybe portray a Red personality type?
Sure, we can do that. Like that's Tony kind of a fun game, yeah. You know, Trump, that guy is redder than red.
He wears red a lot, okay. Too.
Oh, yeah, and he does it on purpose, right? He's very red, very, you know, flashy, you know, in control. Robert De Niro, right, in all of his movies, he's the no BS guy. Same with Pacino. All those mobster-type movie guys, they're red. Okay? Those are a few examples, and we usually do that at the seminar. But, you know, forgot to do that here. We'll kind of run through that so you can kind of mold that to your brains and think about that. Let's talk about blues. If you were to ask a blue, did I catch you at a good time? They'll say yes or no, and then they'll give you a reason why. Remember how they want to be right? They want to do the right thing. So they're justifying to themselves why it is a good time. Well, yeah, I was just about to sit down to dinner, but I've got a few minutes before that because there's a meeting after dinner I have to plan for, but that's all done. Details. So a plain answer followed by an explanation. If you were to listen to a blues voicemail, you'd get something like, hi, this is Bill. I'm not in right now. Leave me a message with your name, your number, and the best time to call you back. and I will return your call as soon as possible. Right, you heard all those details. A red tells you what to do, a blue tells you what to do, and how exactly you're going to do it, the steps to follow. Because that's how they prefer to be communicated with. That's the thing here. You know, Kurt always says, we persuade other people like we like to be persuaded. And you'll talk to other people's personalities like you like to be talked to. That's why we're doing this, so you can learn to talk to them like they like to be talked to. Okay, so those are a couple of questions or methods for identifying blues. Blues are going to be the programmers, the technicians, the scientists, the engineers, businesses where the devil is in the details, accountants. You will see a few attorneys in the blue arena. You know, a litigation attorney or somebody, personal injury, is going to be red. But a tax attorney is going to be blue. What was that?
I'm sorry, Steve. I'm just saying programmers and analysts fit into that category well, too.
Yep, they do. They do.
Very detail-oriented.
And you'll see a blues office has a lot of organization. It's very neat. It's set up in a specific way. They'll have stacks of papers in a certain way or things filed a certain way. They've got their method. They don't like having it messed with. We, and some of you may have heard this before, we used to have a guy work with us that was very blue. I mean, his office was clean, like anally clean. Crazy. Okay. You just felt, wow, the robot working here? And one day, Kurt's daughter had go to work with Daddy Day. His daughter was at work, and she was kind of back in our inventory room messing around, you know, where we keep all the CDs and books and stuff. And I was looking around. I got out of a meeting, and I went to my desk to find my phone, and I couldn't find it. I was kind of asking around, has anyone seen my BlackBerry? I can't find the thing. And she comes walking in proudly with a shrink-wrapped BlackBerry. She had got back into the inventory room and shrink-wrapped my BlackBerry, and I thought, ah, ha, ha, very funny, and then this light bulb went off. I said, hey, why don't you go over into this other guy's office and just go nuts?
You're bad.
And so, yeah, I'm bad. And she shrink-wrapped the monitor, the keyboard, I mean, the printer. She went crazy. And we all thought it was hysterical, but he did not, okay? He was not very amused because we messed with the system. They have a very specific way. Remember, they want to be right. And that's what you need to watch out for. Their cars are going to be economical. It's not going to be any more than what they need, dollar-wise or capacity-wise. Nothing super flashy. And they'll dress very conservative, not anything more necessary. It'll be solid colors and conservative, but with the red, you know, red will try a little bit of style and, you know, maybe a nice watch or something. Blue will have the Timex. Red will have the Rolex, right? That's your general rule. Not perfect, but it's a pretty good guide. Okay. Talking about yellows.
Just a sec. I have a question. Thinking about blue here, if you were approaching a blue who's very methodical and neat, is it more important that you are presenting yourself as neat or that you present your product in a way that fits into his method, or both?
Well, I would say both there, because they are going to judge you. If you're not coming across that way, they'll anticipate that, you know, carrying over into your business life.
Okay.
And we'll get into more detail on that when we talk about, you know, dealing with the types next week. Okay. And I forgot to do celebrity. Anyone know who Jeff Goldblum is? He's always the, you know, the fumbling, analytical, thinking about things, thinking it through, playing a scientist. If you know who Ben Stein is, he's usually playing a blue. right? And these kind in different kinds of movies and such. So those are a couple of possibilities there. So let's talk yellow, all right? If you call a yellow on the phone, is it a good time? Buckle up, because they're going to tell you, all right? They'll have a most likely a pretty long explanation as to why it is or why it isn't. And they might even get off track on it. If you listen to a yellow's voicemail, it's very animated, very upbeat. Hey, this is Bill. I'm not in right now. I'm out. Change the world. Have a great day and leave a message. All right?
That's me.
Something like that. That's you. Okay. Found yourself here. All right. So those are your yellow messages, and they're going to be in sales, marketing, advertising, teaching, something creative where they can get out there and create actors, artists, promoters. They do get stuck in other jobs sometimes, and they tend to stick out if they do. A lot of times their office space is pretty messy. We got a guy at our office, Jason. Hopefully he's listening, but his office looks like a hurricane hit it. And it's, you know, he's very yellow. And that's his method. They'll drive flashy cars. Big trucks, fast cars, bright colors.
Nope, I guess it's not me.
Well, remember, this is not totally exact, and I'll explain why. You know, you could drive the Geo Metro and still be yellow.
Okay, I drive a hybrid because I'm an environmentalist.
Okay, well, you
so
might be this
fit.
Next personality type that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So those are kinds of some characteristics of the yellows and their, you know, office space, profession, and they'll dress a little out there. They're going to try to dress very fashionably. Okay. Let's see, who was a yellow celebrity I've seen recently? Jim Carrey, big time yellow. I was watching football on Sunday. Terry Bradshaw, the football announcer. Just always talking, always out there.
How about Ed Begley? He should fit one of these.
Ed Begley, I'm not even sure who he is. Who is he?
Oh, he was on St. Elsewhere, and he does a show about... he and his wife are arguing about the environment all the time on this sort
Begley.
Of reality show. Begley, I guess it is. Not Begley,
yeah,
Begley.
Begley,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Don't
Let's
know if
talk
he's
white.
Or not.
White personality. These are a little more tricky to identify, remember, because they want everything to be okay. And a lot of times, whites can kind of be chameleons and they can kind of mold to what they think you want them to be. All right? So a white, remember, they want everything to be okay. So if you said, did I catch you at a good time, there's always one answer, yes. Now, if you can hear the dog barking in the background and the kids throwing dishes, you know it's not a good time. But they're going to tell you that it is anyway. Their voicemail may have some inherently apologetic language in it. Hi, this is so-and-so. I'm sorry I missed your call. Please leave me a message and I'll try to call you back as soon as I can. They want to make it all right. They're going to gravitate towards, goodwill kind of jobs or volunteerism, environmentalists many times. Social workers, nurses, you get some white doctors. All the doctors are a weird one. We don't have time to go into that one today. It's a whole different breed. So those are a few of the different professions that they'll go into. Their office is going to be cozy. They might have a couple of chairs in there. They might offer to get you a drink. They'll have pictures of family and maybe have a little dish with some mints out there for you. Want you to feel comfortable. They're great to be around. whites always do make you feel very comfortable. Okay, they're going to drive cars that, you know, do, you know, are necessary to their position. They might drive a van or something where they can cart people around, and you'll notice they'll always have some, you know, stuff from a friend in there that they're running over here or running over there. Always helping out. Okay? Those are your white personalities. Bono.
What do they usually wear?
Charity.
What's their dress?
Oh, white? It's a little tougher because most of the time, a white is going to end up with a red. Those two are kind of like polar opposites that attract, and so they may wear what the red wants them to wear, or, you know, they could have just, you know, if they're coming to a meeting, they could be in their scrubs from the hospital still, or their clothes from work. They're out helping someone. Maybe they show up in jeans and a T-shirt, and they've got gloves in their back pocket. Sorry, there was a flood at my neighbor's house. Whites can be late, because they're always trying to make somebody else happy, and you can't make everybody happy. Not possible, right? And you notice all these different personality types are always looking for something that they can't have all the time. Reds want to control everything, can't do it. Blues always want to be right, good luck. Yellows always want to have fun. Sorry, welcome to life. And whites want to make everything okay. Not going to happen. And they've all got different strengths and weaknesses. Reds are great leaders. They're very aggressive. They get things done. But they can steamroll people, make people feel bad. Sometimes they're not the best, you know, connecting with others. Blues are very good at making good decisions and not being hasty, at relying on logic to make a decision, but sometimes they get that paralysis by analysis. Sometimes they can be very awkward with people as well. Yellows are great at creating energy and selling things and promotion. They're kind of fun to be around, but they can talk too much. And whites are very good at making others comfortable, at making things move and be steady and operate, but they can be people pleasers. And so you probably on this call today have identified which one of these you are, or at least which one you are most of the time. And it wouldn't be any coincidence to me if you try to persuade that way, too. The key is, what personality type are you talking to? And, you know, you've got a few little pointers on the call today about how to deal with that personality type. But we'll get into that in much more detail next week with a couple of really good, solid pointers that you can practice. Would be a good idea between now and next week, if you were to look at the people that you work with the most, maybe you got business partners, team members, whoever it is, and get those personality types identified, because once you have that done and you understand kind of what they're asking for, what they're looking for and working for, your communication and your ability to motivate and persuade them will go up exponentially. Because, you know, there's certain people that I work with on a daily basis that I would talk to completely different than I would somebody else. And it works better that way. So do we have any comments or questions or anything that you'd like to bring up with respect to what we talked about today?
Here's another one. This is Christina again. What would Mike Majors be, for instance?
Mike Major?
Yeah, and Kirk Mortensen. Let's do both of them, because we all know them.
Okay. Well, I would probably put Mike as he's got a decent amount of red in him, but he's also got some yellow. Mike can get talking, but he also doesn't stand for much bull.
And Kurt?
And Kurt? Kurt is very red. He's refined that. You know, when he's on the phone, on conference calls, and doing a seminar, you wouldn't know. But he is very red. You give Kurt the bottom line, very quick and succinct, and he appreciates that. And you know, when I need to run something by Kurt, for example, I know just do it quick. Whereas other people, you know, I've got to lay out a presentation, get some details together. Not so with Kurt.
Steve, this is Glenn in Cleveland. I just want to point out, Kurt, I've had very few exposures to him other than, you know, the conference calls. But in the two that I've had, I would categorize him as purple because he's obviously extremely, let's say, organized also. Organized, methodical. I mean, it comes through. His brains are loaded. You can sense that immediately when he starts talking. He knows exactly what the agenda is, what points he intends to get across, and he can interact, you know, thinking on his feet because he's got so much under his belt, so to speak. So
yeah, that's a good point, Glenn. That's a good point. And that's very valid because, too, you notice when Kurt presents, he's always going to bring up the scientific study. He's always going to bring up this statistic or that poll, and that's because that's the way he also likes to be persuaded. You go into Kurt and say, hey, we need to do this because Harvard University found that. He'll go, okay. Right? So that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other comments or questions?
Good call.
Good. Good. I'm glad that you found it helpful. You know, it's like I said, it's something we like to review every couple of months because it's easy to get away from you a little bit, but you know, we'll get into next week a few techniques that you can use that really cut the time down off of the persuasion process that make it feel a lot more natural, a lot easier, and a lot better. So you'll definitely enjoy next week as well if you liked this one. So we will have IT get an email out to everybody when it's posted for recording if you want to go ahead and do a little review, because we did record this one. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and finish up. Any last chance for questions, or hold your peace till next Thursday?
Hey, Steve, it's Dave again. Could you tell everybody the name of the book again by the guy with the colors and all that? So maybe, because that may be
yeah,
some book.
Yeah, the Color Code.
Yes,
by
exactly.
Dr. Taylor Hartman.
Okay.
It's even got a little test in there that you can take and kind of shows you what your most dominant personality type is. And it's pretty darn accurate from what we've been able to tell.
I believe he's got a website, too. I think people can go there and look at his materials. I found it very helpful.
Yeah, I think you can even take the test on his website, too, yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Actually,
no problem.
The other thing I'd like to mention, this is Christina from Baltimore, is it helps sometimes to look at this from the other ways people have organized, like the squirrels. I forget this one now, but there's squirrels and hares and I forget the other two. But I know one is very organized and gets the job done, and one is creative and comes up with the ideas. So we could add that in to match, because I bet they would just match right up.
Probably so.
That's Robert Allen.
No.
Yeah, that's Robert Allen's. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to look at that and to see how they match up.
Yeah, there's quite a few systems out there. People use animals, shapes, you know. But, you know, and we could just say, you know, straight up scientific terminology, you know, analytical, amiable, you know, controlling. But that's not as fun, and it's a lot easier, you know, when we're communicating on the phone is, you know, what are they? Well, they're blue, you know, and knowing that, it would completely change how you'd make a presentation or persuade somebody.
Yep.
Well, good.
Excellent. Good job.
All right, everybody. It was good to have you. I hope you have we got the weekend coming up here, so do what you need to do, rest, or get it, you know, some people persuade better on the weekend, and if that's your thing, then good luck. We'll certainly talk to you next Thursday about dealing with the personality types, and we'll go from there. So have a good night, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, best wishes.
Great call, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Steve?
Yeah.
Are you at a number where I can call you with a quick real estate question?
Yeah. Call me at 801-434-4022.
Okay.
Extension 3019.
Great. Thanks, Steve. Bye.
I got about 5 minutes. We can talk.